everyone. Today we are going to continue our work on House Bill 3619. And we made our way through our witness list yesterday for the public hearing, so I will not call a public hearing, but I will call. I will open a work session on House Bill 3619, and we may bring people up in the course of the work session if questions arise. So the breaking news on 3619 is, committee, as you know, we at the end of our hearing yesterday, we got some testimony about some problems with transferees of tax credits, and so we have an amendment to address that. So I'll let counsel, Mr. Alanak describe that, and maybe ask Kate Toswell to come up and be available on that as well.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, the dash A18s would replace the dash A17s, and as you recall, there are two questions. One of them pertained to the definition of successor of interest, and if you turn to page 2, lines 22 through 26, it rules out the lenders or bankruptcy trustees from that definition of successor of interest. So the focus really there is if it's one business that buys the other business, then that kind of transfer is considered a successor of interest, but not in some of these other cases that you heard about yesterday. The other change there pertain to the clawback, and that's essentially a rewrite of most of the language in here. It's the bulk of the bill, and it clarifies that the clawback is for the manufacturing facilities. If it gets revoked, then they can go back, they can get the full theoretical maximum of the credit from the original person who obtained the certificate and not the transferees to get the credit. It holds in place that the non-manufacturing facility credits can also be revoked. None of that has been changed. It's just been clarified that it's more restrictive on the manufacturing facility. So, for example, the criteria that could be used in the revocation are only applicable to the facilities.
To the manufacturing?
Manufacturing facilities.
Okay. And then in terms of how the clawback works, are the ground rules the same for manufacturing and non-manufacturing? In other words, you can't claw back against lenders or successors? Maybe I should address that question to Ms. Toswell.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Chair Bardick, members of the committee, Kate Toswell from Legislative Council. I believe the intention of the dash 18s is to treat the manufacturing facility separately from the other facilities, but to still retain the ability to have the revocation for non-manufacturing facilities. Mm-hmm. The distinction between fraud and misrepresentation, which is paragraph A of sub 1, and between that and failure to comply, which is paragraph B. And in looking further at the previous amendments, the dash 17s, it seems that there was the two types of clawbacks were merged in a way that wasn't necessarily going to work. And additionally, in the dash 18s, it's been made clear that a successor in interest excludes a number of people who I believe it's the committee's intention not to have subject to collection from the Department of Revenue. And these amendments do achieve that goal.
Okay, maybe you could tell us a couple things. That for a non-manufacturing facility, as I read these, they have to comply with, they can get, be liable for the amount of the tax credit if they violate the under Section 5, subsection 1A or 1B. In other words, if they violate their conditions.
That's correct.
But the conditions for a manufacturing facility, subsection 1B, does that incorporate the criteria that we put in for manufacturing facilities.
Yes, members of the committee, Chair Burdick, we did. There's a new set of criteria that are in that would be amended into Chapter 469 specifically for the manufacturing facilities that would apply to the clawback provisions specifically and solely for those facilities.
Correct. And then if other non-manufacturing facilities violated the more general provisions, they would also be subject.
Yes.
Okay. The other question is, it came up, if a company goes out of business and they violate the provisions, you know, their commitments, so they're subject to clawback, and it goes, is there anybody, if they go into bankruptcy, what happens to the clawback provision?
I believe this actually does, it enables the Department of Revenue to collect from a successor in interest, but it specifically excludes the people who are listed in paragraph B of sub 5, and that's on page 2, starting on line 22. It excludes a lender, a bankruptcy trustee, or other person acquiring an interest through bankruptcy or through foreclosure of a security interest. Those people will not be considered successor in interests. And I believe the intent throughout this process was to make sure that if a business solely transformed itself and continued to operate, that successor would not be shielded from collection if they violated the terms of the credit, but that someone else who was not intended, wasn't in that place, but might legally be viewed as a successor, probably would be viewed as a successor in interest, that they would not be caught up in collection, and that would include a lender as well.
Okay. So I think our main interest was in holding the lenders harmless so that it wouldn't depress the availability of money to be lent.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. So, but if they reorganize and somebody else takes them over, then that successor would be covered by the clawback provision.
Yes. Trevor, yes.
Okay. All right. Committee members, are you following this? Does anybody have any questions?
You want to move the dash 18?
I'm going to, ready to move the dash 18s. We actually have several amendments here that why don't we go through the other ones as well. And Kate, maybe you could stand by in case people have questions on those. We have the dash A13. Chris, maybe you can just summarize what those are.
Sure, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The dash A13 adds an additional criteria to the list of criteria that we've been talking about over the past couple of days. And that criterion is the likelihood that the facility will base, that the applicant will base either location or expansion decisions upon the allowance of the tax credit. So that's something that in the estimation of the director of the Department of Energy, they could factor in terms of allowing the credit if they think it's important for the company to expand or locate.
Okay. And committee, I actually came up with this amendment as an attempt to make sure that this tax credit remains an incentive and doesn't evolve into an entitlement, that the department can make, if there's a clear case where the tax credit is not going to be a factor in whether the company comes or not, that the department will have some discretion, and there'll be rulemaking around this, obviously. We have Mr. Graney here. There you are. Do you want to come on up in case anyone has questions on this? Any questions? Okay. We have one more amendment, and I think we only have these three. Isn't that correct, the A16s?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
The A16s... are actually an amendment to the bill that we did yesterday, should it become law. There was a small provision left out of it, which gives tax filers a little bit of a time extension to file their taxes under the natural resources estate tax system. Do you have anything to add, or did I screw that up?
No, Madam Chair, that works. It's a 3 months. It just extends the day from June 30th to September.
Right. So that's something that the people who will benefit from this legislation very, very much want. So are there questions? We have people here for all three of these amendments. Is there any questions? Senator Morse, why don't we start with the 13s and move to the 16s and the 17s, 16s and the 18s.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the dash A 13 amendment to House Bill 3619.
Senator Morse has moved the dash A 13 amendment to House Bill 3619. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move the dash A 16 amendments to House Bill 3619.
Senator Morse has moved the dash A 16 amendments to House Bill 3619. Is there any discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Morse.
Madam Chair, I move the dash 18s to House Bill 3619.
Senator Morse has moved the dash 18 amendment, dash A 18 amendment to Senate Bill, to House Bill 3619. Is there any discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Morse.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3619 be referred to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morse has moved House Bill 3619 as amended by the dash A13, the dash A16, and the dash A18 amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Senator Atkinson.
Madam Chair, I'd like to register a potential conflict of interest as I run a company that gives advice to people in renewable energy, and some of them will be filing for Betsy's.
Senator Atkinson, your conflict is noted. Any other discussion? So ordered. Senator Morse and I will co-carry this bill.
Thank you very much.
I think our work here is done. Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned.